Some people take their secrets with them to the grave. Others leave them behind on their deathbeds, riddles for the survivors to solve. Mercy Carr suspected that August Pitts was one of the latter. She stood in the neat living room of his farmhouse at the foot of the portable hospital bed on which he lay dying. She knew he was dying by the way her Belgian shepherd, Elvis, the smartest dog in the world, huddled with the old man's golden retriever, Sonny. Both of their noses pointed through the metal bars onto Pitts's bony hip. One dark muzzle and one yellow muzzle, side by side, shiny black noses, stark against the white cotton sheets. Pitts raised a mottled hand to pet them. The effort was great, and his arm fell limply back toward the bed, catching on the dog's ears. Elvis and Sonny licked his knobbled fingers. He smiled, but even that small gesture seemed too much for him. His weary face tightened against the pain, and the lines crisscrossing his face deepened. He closed his eyes. She hoped to hell that was a morphine drip in his arm.
"He does that a lot."
Pitts's sister, Eveline, stepped up to join Mercy. The heavy-limbed woman wore too tight yoga clothes and a smile to match.
"The painkillers, you know."
"Will he wake up again soon?"
"Hard to tell. Not usually."
Eveline lowered her voice to a stage whisper.
"He's not long for this world. Every breath could be his last."
Pitts was in the late stages of cancer. Eveline had told her as much when she called to ask her to come up to Lamoille County to see him.
"It's his dying wish," she'd said.
Pitts was her Grandpa Red's last partner. Her grandfather was the sheriff, and Pitts his deputy, when he died in an arrest gone wrong, when Mercy was 9 years old. She still missed him.
"We'll wait a while," she told Eveline.
"Suit yourself."
Eveline pointed to a worn brown vinyl recliner in the corner.
"Make yourself at home."
She stomped off to the kitchen nook at the far side of the great room and busied herself at the sink. Mercy settled into the old recliner and tried not to sweat. The farmhouse was as warm as a hothouse, its noisy old furnace obviously working overtime to keep the cold gales of early March at bay. Elvis and Sonny panted as they continued their watch at the old man's bedside. Both dogs would need water before long. Her grandmother Patience had warned her against this trip.
"Nothing good ever came of your grandfather's association with that man, and nothing good will come of yours either."
Pitts was late to work the day her husband died, and Patience believed the deputy's absence contributed to his death. She had never forgiven him, and her dislike of the man only intensified over the years.
"He says he needs to see me, for Grandpa Red's sake."
"He's unreliable and untrustworthy. You can't believe a word he says."
"I'll hear him out. It may be nothing."
"You just want to get out of Dodge, to avoid running into a certain game warden."
It was true that she'd had a falling out with Troy Warner a few months ago, but that had nothing to do with this. This she had to do for her grandfather.
"Out of the frying pan, into the fire,"
her grandmother said, when she realized there was no talking Mercy out of heading north to Lamoille County. But as she sat there watching August Pitts, his breath shallow and his lips moving in his fitful sleep, she could see no fire, no fire at all, only the cool specter of death hovering over the old man as he slept. "His death's upon him," as Shakespeare would say.
Thank you for listening to this clip provided to you by Macmillan Audio. To hear more, look for this title wherever audiobooks are sold.